So today I got to meet Sean Bateman. We went to Ann's restaurant, and so I took him someplace good to eat, and you know, we were able to go in there and have some lunch. But he's one of us, and so we're just talking about different topics, a lot of weird things like I like. But I'm glad to have him here. We both have the passion for Jesus Christ and to share the gospel as well, and I look forward to him telling us about Argentina. So just go on up, Sean.
Yeah, it's on. Well, it's good to be here in Hoosier country. And I come from basketball land myself. I come from North Carolina. And I am a Tar Heel fan, so don't hold that against me. Y'all are the first church in Indiana that I've ever been to. And so I was telling Pastor Brian that it looks a lot like Argentina. It's in Argentina, it's cattle, corn, and soy, and wheat. And I sort of feel home riding around in all the corn pastures and everything. But it's a joy to be here with y'all. I want to thank the Boyd family for putting me up last night and feeding me. And they've been very gracious hosts, and I appreciate that very much. And enjoyed spending the day with your pastor. And I've never met a pastor that had a Bigfoot sticker on his Jeep. So, but it was, I had a good time with him today. Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. And I'm from North Carolina in 1999. I left the mountains, I'm from the mountains, and moved down to the city of Greenville, South Carolina, enrolled at Tabernacle Baptist Bible College, and there I met the prettiest girl from Georgia. And it took me a while, but I finally convinced her to marry me, and we got married. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to begin serving in a small country church in a place called Salem, South Carolina. It's about 20 minutes north of Clemson University. And the pastor resigned after about a year and a half under good terms. The Lord was blessing, but he just felt like he was done. And so they elected me. I was 25 years old and became the pastor of the church. I was the youngest member of the church. And the Lord blessed. We were there for another 6.5 years. And the Lord began to really burden my heart. It's so weird coming back and then driving around my home area of North Carolina, the upstate of South Carolina, North Georgia. And you go 2 miles down the road and you pass three Baptist churches. And the Lord began to burden my heart about missions. And what I was doing, I was preaching about missions. I was emphasizing missions in our church. And Lord really began burning my heart. We went to Vision Baptist Church and Vision Baptist Missions to talk to them about the possibility of maybe doing church planning there in the Atlanta area, because there's still a need in a lot of the metro areas of the states. And so I was told, why don't you pray about world missions? So we came home, we prayed. We prayed for 3 months. Emily and I, we didn't talk about it. We just prayed. And at the end of 3 months, I set her down. I said, what do you think? And she said, I've been thinking about the country of Argentina. I said, well, that's weird. I've been thinking about Argentina too. And we had not talked about it. We didn't know anybody in Argentina. I didn't know anything about Argentina. Didn't know anything about the culture or soccer. And I didn't play soccer. My first game of soccer was in Argentina. I was 33 years old. Brother, I'm from the mountains. We ain't got a cow pasture flat enough to play soccer, you know. We play basketball, and if the ball bounces off the rim, somebody has to run down the hill to get the ball. And so I didn't know anything about Argentina. We got to go in 2013 for a survey trip, and we sold everything. Moved to Georgia, began training. And then in 2016, we went to Arequipa, Peru, to language school to learn Spanish, because I didn't know any Spanish. We sold everything before we'd ever been to Argentina. We're like, God's called us, so we're going. And so the only Spanish I knew was taco and burrito and fajita and chimichanga, and the most important word, now listen, this is very important, the most important word in any language, I knew that. Do you know what it is? It's bathroom. And if you say bathroom with enough urgency, you don't have to say, where's the bathroom? I need to go. Just say it with enough urgency and people get the message. And so I knew that word. We arrived there in 2016 in Peru and studied language and had a wonderful experience there in Peru. We were there for 2 years. God opened up opportunities for me to preach all over Peru as well. And then in 2018, we moved to Argentina. Now, like I said, Argentina, they're fanatics for soccer. This is the local soccer jersey. We moved to Rosario, Argentina, and this is their Rosario Central. There's actually two teams there in our city. Newell's Old Boys, which Lionel Messi started his career with them, and then there's Central, and my family, we're Central. And so you have to pick a side. And so we picked Central. And then another thing in Argentina that they're big on is this right here. Now this is called mate. And you'll see people walking around the parks and they'll be carrying this. And inside you'll have your thermos, hot water. You'll have your cup. They'll have the yerba. And this is, it's like a tea. And they will pour it in loosely into this cup. Before they do that, they put the straw, it's called a bombilla. And if you notice, there's a little strainer on the end. And so they'll put the bombilla in, they'll fill it up with mate, and then they'll pour hot water in it. And the person that does it, that has the kit, he drinks the first mate. He'll drink it. And then he'll fill the water back up, and he'll pass it to the next person. And they'll drink it. And they'll get back, and he'll fill it back up, and he'll hand it off to the next person. And everybody in the circle gets to drink mate. You don't get to wipe the straw off. And so, and if you're sick, no problem. We'll all be sick with you. And man, they're fanatics about this stuff. More so than we are coffee. Are there some coffee drinkers here tonight? Yeah? All right, do you guys drink it with sugar? Who drinks it with sugar? Raise your hand. Okay, got three. Who doesn't drink with sugar? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. All right, so the bitter people win. And see, they will argue. They will argue about mate like we do coffee, you know. Do you drink it with sugar or without? And so it's a very family-oriented culture, very close culture, very religious culture. And so we arrived in 2018, and I began looking for a place for us to set up our ministry and rode down the street, and we found this one place. Actually, we found like three places all on one block, on one corner, and we get out, and we look, and I had Pastor Hernan Ortiz with me. In our province of Santa Fe, there's 3.5 million people. Our city, there's 1.5 million people. And I might as well tell this. So our city is called the Chicago of Argentina. Our homicide rate's 5 times the national average. The reason is because we're one of the largest grain exporters in the world. Even though we're way inland, the River Paraná, which is a huge river, goes by our city, and we have a deep port. And so all the grain ships from Europe, Africa, and Asia come, and all the grains from North Argentina come to our city. So corn, soy, wheat, rice, all going out of our city. And on the other side of the river, there's nothing. There's just a big delta. I showed Pastor Brian this the day on the map. And so the Colombians and Bolivians will fly in and drop off loads of cocaine in that delta area. And their contacts in the city go out, pick it up, and store it in the city until a ship comes in and they're able to smuggle it out. 5 blocks from my church, 2 years ago, they found 1,600 kilos of cocaine. And I showed your pastor the pictures. They had it laid out in the street. And so drugs are very easily accessible there. There's big gang wars. When we were in Arequipa in Peru, there's this one guy. Emily and I went to a gym every morning, early in the morning. We were there at 6 o'clock. And so there's this one guy, though. He didn't look like everybody. And he for sure didn't talk like everybody. And then people started calling him Che, which is what Argentines call each other. And I said, oh, he's Argentine. So we go up. His name's Lucas. He's still a friend of mine today. I said, Lucas, are you Argentine? He said, I am. And he said he's from Buenos Aires, the capital. And I said, man, that's great. I said, we're thinking about going to Argentina. I'm a pastor. We're going to go to Argentina and start churches. And we're thinking about the city of Rosario. Now, Arequipa is a very safe city. And so I asked him, I said, is Rosario a very safe city? And he just began to laugh and laugh and laugh. And then he said, no, the monkeys are there. I thought, the monkeys? And so I'm in my mind, I'm picturing monkeys up in the trees throwing sticks or stones at people. I didn't know what he was talking about, los monos. And I said, the monkeys? And he said, yeah, it's a gang. And they control the southern part of Rosario. And so we have big turf wars. I was telling your pastor that from February 2022 to March of 2023, there was somebody shot and murdered every week in our neighborhood. Not in the city, just in our neighborhood where the church is. And so our church, and I told people, I'm thinking about planning a church in Empalme. They're like, why? I was like, well, why not? What's wrong with it? And they're like, no, that's like Harlem. And I was like, first of all, how do you know about Harlem? And they said, because of the movies. And we do not realize the influence and the impact that our culture through movies and music has in other countries. And the guy told me, he said, no, that's a really dangerous neighborhood. And so I planted our church in one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the most crime-ridden city in the country. And so we find this place, these buildings, and one's for rent for 35,000 pesos, the other one's 25,000 pesos. And I found this one place for 9,500 pesos, which was 70 bucks. And I said, I think this is the Lord's will right here. And brother, can we start the slideshow? And we should put the first picture there and show you guys one of the reasons why. There it is. Just a beautiful, elegant building there. And in the corner, you see a little bathroom right there in the corner. There's a colony of cockroaches living in there. We had to evict them. Go to the next. Oh, you see that chain right there? I just noticed this in the picture. Yep. So I'm out passing out flyers talking about the new church in town. And a lady comes by. Her name's Elisa. She lives the next block over. And she says, oh, well, a church. That's wonderful. That's great. Where is it? I said, it's right here in Liniers. And she's like, right here? And I said, yes, ma'am. In this warehouse? I said, yes, ma'am. Oh, that's wonderful. The church is going there. It's horrible what happened there, isn't it? And I said, what happened? And she said, they didn't tell you? I said, they didn't tell me nothing. And so the man that owned this building before fell into hard economic times, and he hung himself in this building. I don't know if he used that chain. I went in, Brother Hernan Gonzalez was building a wall there in the building where that second column is, and I said, you ain't going to believe this, but the man that's renting this building committed suicide here. And he hung himself. And Hernan looked. He said, with that rope? And I said, I don't know. There was a rope laying there. And so that worried me because we're very superstitious in Latin America. Very superstitious. And I didn't think anybody was going to come to our church. But you know, Lord majors in the impossible. And a location that was known as hopelessness and death. It is very well known throughout the community. God birthed Victory Baptist Church. It became a place of a new birth and resurrection and life. And go to the next picture. There's the outside. And go to the next one. And this is what it looked like when we finished. This is my friend Kevin White, missionary of Bolivia. We built a wall on that first column, and then I hung a curtain on the second column to kind of make the space a little bit smaller, because just me and my family when we got started. And this is 2 months into the church plant. And so I told him, when we get to 25 people, we'll take the curtain down and use this whole area. And so it took us about 3 months, but we got there. And see, things are rolling around, rolling good, and we get to 2020. And COVID came and visited us and locked us down. But even during that time, God blessed, and even the church even grew during that time. For about 2 months, I went and visited everybody in their own house because we couldn't meet. And then go to the next picture. And then we could meet, but we had to separate ourselves. You see people wearing the mask and everything, and I had everybody separated out by families. And we, at first, it was 10 people at a time, then it was 20 people at a time. And I'd call and I'd say, okay, you guys are going to be here on Sunday morning, and you guys are going to be here on Sunday night. And I'd preach the same message. And most of the time, the people Sunday night, they got to hear the second message. It was much better. I practiced on the first group, and the second group got to hear a really good message. But the Lord bless. We go to the next slide. We had an opportunity to go up to Arocena out in the country. And this lady named Nellie, she said, I wish somebody come and help me evangelize my neighbors. And so we went up there for about a year every other week. And we'd take a whole group of our church people up there, go to the next one. And it gave the men in my church opportunity. There's Luis Vitale sharing the message there that night. And Lord started blessing with men in our church that was preparing for the ministry. Go to the next one. And then 2021, a missionary that's there in our city, he just retired this year and came home, Brother Steve Thornton, he called me, said, I want you to come to my house. I've got a question for you. And went over to his house, and he said, do you want the camp? The camp's 4 acres. He said, I'm too old. I can't keep it up anymore. And he said, I, instead of selling it, I'd like to pass it off to somebody that's going to use it. And so we have 4 acres, a house, a pool, 2 dormitories that can bed 35 people, 4 cabins, this big auditorium, kitchen, a conference room up above. And God's blessed the camp. Go to the next one. And so that's at the camp. We grill. Now listen, has anybody ever heard of the beef in Argentina? It ain't no lie. It's the best beef. If y'all looking for a really good mission trip, don't go to Africa. They'll feed you bugs. Come to Argentina, brethren. I will feed you beef, and it will feed your soul. But beef's expensive. Not nearly as expensive as it is here. You can live like a king in Argentina. I'm telling you, just beef. It's about a third of the price there. And so, but for them, it's still expensive. So a lot of times our camp functions, we'll have chicken like that and grill out a bunch of chicken. You go to the next one. And that's our last camp. We have a summer camp every year. This is our 3rd summer camp that we had. We had over 120 people there that year. We were at capacity. We had no more room. We had people sleeping in tents. And God really blessed. In that picture, there's 5 young people, as of right now, after that camp, went and started training for the ministry. After that camp. God did a great work. In the young people's lives. And so that was in 2019 we start church, 2021 we get the camp, and then we should have come home in 2022. Because it's normally 4 years on the field and 1 year off and going around and giving updates and visiting churches. And Argentina is a very socialistic country. To get a house, you don't do a credit check, you don't give up you do have to prove your income. But what they ask is that somebody else put up their house for a guarantee. And like 3 or 5 other people put up their paycheck for a guarantee on a house. It's very complicated renting. And then they rent. They don't do 1-year contract. Right now they're doing 3-year contracts. And so I had a 3-year contract on the house. And I'm like, man, it's so hard to get into a house. What I'd like to do is I'd like to stay this last year. We did 2 years in it. And I called my mission board. I was like, look, we're comfortable, it's a nice house, and we're comfortable where we are. Could we stay 1 more year? And they said, okay, 1 more year. So my goal that year, 2023, was to purchase a property for Victory Baptist Church and finish organizing the church, and that'd be a wrap for our first tour. And then what happened was, we get to March, and everything's going as planned, and we get to March, and a friend of mine contacted me, and he said, I just came from the city of Pergamino. Pergamino is 1.5 hours south. 130,000 people. And he said, there's this group of people there in a little house, and they're wanting to start a church. And he said, I can't do it. I'm 5 hours away. He said, you're the closest. Think about this. He said, you're the closest that there is. And I thought, man, it seems like the Lord's opening up this opportunity. So I go down and I speak to him and talked with him. If we go to the next slide. Okay. Yeah. So that's the house that we started meeting in. When I went there the first night, we had 10 people. And I want to ask you guys to pray. This young man sitting right here, last Wednesday, a week ago, his mama came to check on him. He'd been sick and in bed for 2 days. And he started having convulsions. They took him to the hospital. He's got a tumor. He's right now waiting on the supplies to arrive at the hospital. His name's Bautista, which translates Baptist. He's got a wonderful name. We're a Baptist church, Faith Baptist Church. His name's Bautista. Please pray for him. They're probably going to be doing an operation on him this week to remove that tumor. He's 24 years old. So please remember him in prayer. We had 10 people, and it didn't take us about 2 months to fill that up. And so go to the next one, and we found a place to rent, put up a sign, and go to the next one, and there's our church today. The man in the pulpit is at Hernan Gonzalez. So when I went, I took him with me, and I said, look, if you guys want me to be the pastor, I've got to leave at the end of this year in 2023. So this is going to be a package deal. It's going to be me and Hernan, because I'm going to leave him here in charge of the work. And they voted unanimously for it. And so Hernan's right now overseeing that work. And so what's today, Wednesday? So in 2 days from now, on Friday, they start their first youth conference. So pray for them. Faith Baptist Church. Go to the next one. All right, this is Gauchito Gil. And Gauchito Gil is kind of like a Robin Hood figure in Argentine folklore. And I'm trying to cut out a bunch of stuff. There's so many things I could say. But they pray to him. He's kind of like Robin Hood. And so they pray to him. And you'll find little shrines. You go to the next one. You'll find little shrines on the road, as small as that, and about as big as this auditorium at times. And he has followers. It's all over the country. They paint the little places red, put up little red flags. You go there, there's little statue candles to light. You can drop off a bottle of whiskey or some beer or cigarettes or food as an offering to Gauchito Gil and pray and say, Gauchito Gil, make me rich. Make that girl love me. You know, whatever. And they love and they serve Gauchito Gil. They got little bumper stickers. They, you know, like Jesus is my co-pilot. They got Gauchito Gil's bumper stickers that people put on their cars. And another one is Santa Muerte. Santa Muerte is death. And their shrine is painted black. They have black and black flags. So you go down the road like this road right here, and it's not uncommon at all to pass by, and you'll see a red altar, a black altar for Gauchito Gil, Santa Muerte, and then another altar maybe for the Virgin Mary. And so Roman Catholicism is the predominant religion, even though the majority of the population, they do not practice Roman Catholicism. You go to the next one. Okay, this young man, tell you a few quick stories. This young man, his name's Iñaki. Iñaki, he lives there in the neighborhood, and my son, my daughter, Hector Campos, the assistant pastor, and a few other kids, they would go out on Saturday afternoon. We'd all go out, and they went out in a group one day, went down to the plaza, and Iñaki's dad sells ponchos. And ponchos in Argentina is a hot dog. So he sells hot dogs in the park there about 5 blocks from our church. And they said, hey, we have youth meeting at 5 o'clock every Saturday. Would you like to come? And he talked to his dad, and Juan said yes. And so Iñaki came to our church for the youth meeting. And so they had a youth meeting. He loved it. He's a very quiet, shy little boy. And this is at camp. They're doing a dress-up. Can anybody guess who he's dressed up as? He's dressed as a little boy at Up. Yep. So he arrives at the youth meeting. He loved it. And they said, hey, we're going to do this tomorrow at 11 and 7. And he misunderstood what they said. He thought they said 11 to 7. And I'll never forget this day that Iñaki showed up to our church for the first time on a Sunday morning. He brought his lunch with him because he thought he was going to be there all day. And because of this young man right here, he got saved. I baptized him. He's been discipled. And right now there's 11 other people in our church as a result of him. The next year, we went to the camp for our family conference on Saturday. His mom and his stepdad went. And then they came back that Sunday night, got saved. And then as a result of them, we've had several other families come into the church. You just never know what God's going to do. Amen? Even if you're teaching Sunday school to small children, you're working with the youth, it doesn't matter. What you're doing matters. Amen? What you're doing matters. What you're doing counts. And you have no idea the fruit that God is going to give in whatever area of service that you're serving in the church ministry. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. We'll come back to that later. That family right there, that's Lucas and Selena and their little daughter Juli and their little boy Eliel. And this is not uncommon in Argentina. The whole family. I've seen more people on a motorcycle than this. I've seen the family and grandma and a cat hanging off the motorcycle before. Maybe not a cat, but dogs. I have seen lots of dogs on motorcycles. And so I met them in the pandemic. This guy told me, he's like, Pastor, I've come across a family. They really need help. Can you go and meet them? And I think it was probably in June of the pandemic. And so I went by. She was having anxiety and panic attacks. The week before I came, she had called the ambulance 3 times because she couldn't breathe. And so I get there, and he told her, he said, you're going crazy. Or he said, you've gone crazy. You're driving me crazy. Pack your stuff. You're going to move back to your mama's house. I mean, they were at their wits' end. And so I went in, and I sat down with them and asked them, have you guys ever heard of the gospel? Now listen, they'd been attending a church, a prosperity preaching church, for 3 years. Think about this, 3 years. And I asked them if they'd ever heard the gospel. They couldn't tell me what the gospel was. And so I just started, and I started in Genesis, and I showed them the fall. They understood that. They understood their sinners. And I took them to Exodus chapter 20, and they understood they've broken God's law. And then I take them to Christ in the New Testament. I showed them that what Christ did was he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled God's righteous law and all the requirements necessary. And he was a perfect man. And he didn't lie, and he didn't cheat, and he didn't steal. And he was God's perfect sacrifice. And at the end of his life, he gave his life a ransom for our sins. And God accepted that and raised him up the third day. Now, I don't push a lot of times for people to make a profession, to repeat a prayer, because they're very religious in Argentina. I could get half the neighborhood to repeat a prayer. Because they're Catholics, and you ask them, you're like, well, I'll pray this prayer right here. Oh, I've never prayed that prayer before. That prayer. They pray the rosary. They pray the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And they'll take it, and they'll say that they don't understand the concept of salvation and regeneration and justification. And so I don't push, because I'm looking for conversions, not necessarily professions. And so I take my time, and I follow up. I'm aggressive, but I take my time. I want them to understand salvation. And so, but that night, I just said, if you guys want me to, I'll come back next week. Same day, same time. They said, yes. But that night, Lucas went into his bedroom, bowed his knees, and trusted Christ as a Savior. But he didn't need me. The Holy Spirit was there. Amen? And so he trusted the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, daylight to dark, the difference in this family. And when I met him, Elia was just a little bitty baby. He's crawling around crying. And Huli was only 4 years old. And now, the great thing about Lucas, his daddy abandoned him when he was about 8 years old. Selena grew up without a dad in her home. Just messed up situation. But now, Elia and Huli, they've never known a time when their mom and daddy didn't love each other. They weren't in church serving Jesus together as a family. And see, God changes lives of individuals, but he changes families too. Amen? And Lord be willing, we'll have two generations right here in the Monzon family. And Lord be willing, when Julio and Eliel get older, they'll trust Christ and their children. And we'll have three generations in our church there at Victory Baptist Church. It's a wonderful couple, and they're faithful, and they love Jesus, and they're serving the Lord. He helps teaching and helps lead the singing at the church. They both work in the youth group. And that's just a few stories of what God's done. Man, I could stand here. I could write a book. We've been there for 5.5 years. I could honestly write a book. My friend Kevin White, he was there, and I was telling him all the crazy things that have happened with drugs and people being shot and killed there in our neighborhood. And he said, man, you got to write a book. And I probably ought to. Lord's good. And the Lord is faithful, and the Lord takes care of us. You know, we've been there 5.5 years, and we never got robbed. We never got held up. And I've been close twice. I've been within 2 and 3 blocks of when the drug groups went and did a hit and killed somebody, and I could hear the shots. But the Lord watched over us and cared for us and took care of us. You know, the truth of the matter is we're untouchable, we're unstoppable until God gets done with us. There's no weapon formed in heaven or hell or in the earth that can prosper against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And we should courageously and boldly preach and share Christ with others. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans. And go with me to chapter number 1. Oh, quickly. 5 minutes. Does anybody have any questions about Argentina and the ministry there? Yes, ma'am. The gauchos? Yep. They're everywhere. Yeah. A lot of times they'll wear white shirts and like a red sash and their hats. I'm driving on Sunday mornings down to Pergamino, there's always one that's always herding his cows out. But yeah, you see them a lot everywhere. Everywhere you go, you'll see gauchos. A big cowboy culture there in Argentina. Yep. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, I would hope they'd say they enjoy it. Now that they do. So our ranges are 7 months to 17. And this is something I forgot to mention. Last year, we got to start Faith Baptist Church because I asked for us to stay 1 year. That was my first Sunday with them was in April. And that same week, Emily said, "We're having a baby." After a 9-year break, we're having a baby. And so they've been with us every step of the way. When we got to Peru, they didn't know Spanish either. And we were in language school in the mornings, and so we just threw them in a Christian school there. It was all Spanish. They weren't going to learn reading, writing, arithmetic. They would learn Spanish. And 4 months later, they came out talking like little Peruvians. And so my son is fluent. Matter of fact, today we're talking, my oldest two, 17 and 15, and the boy's not... one boy, five girls. Pray for me, please. Amen. Grab a prayer card. Put it on your refrigerator. Okay. Yeah, that was right before the little baby came. And Ian, he's about 2 inches taller than I am now. But that's Ian. And then on the end, working back, is Bethany. And then Savannah, and then Caroline, and then Madeline. And then we got a little baby. Her name is Elena. And she was born in Argentina. She has dual citizenship. And because of her, we have permanent residency. But yeah, so the month of April last year, I purchased a property for Victory Baptist Church. I started Faith Baptist Church, and my wife said, "We're going to have a baby." So it was a busy year last year. But they've all been homeschooled from the very beginning. And so I was telling your pastor today, my son and daughter, they put in for jobs, and both of them got the jobs. And I told them, please put on your application you're bilingual, because they're fluent in Spanish. And they're actually getting started out a little bit higher than what they would have because of that skill set. So, yeah, this has been beneficial. And they love it there. They have friends there. Ian said he's going to miss his friends, but he wants to be a lawyer. So I don't know how that happened, but pray for him. Anybody else got another question? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, we're looking at it. It'd probably be 2.5 to 3 years the next term that we'll be there in Argentina. We've got 5 guys right now that are training for the ministry. And so I think in the next term we'd at least be able to plant one additional church. I mean, if some of the guys get on it and find them a good wife, we might be able to plant more than that. But pray. We need some good godly young women for the good godly guys that we've got. So, yeah. Anybody else? Now, we don't eat weird things in Argentina, like I said. We steak, a huge Italian influence. And so there's pasta. And I mean, if you like steak, y'all really ought to pray about making a missions trip to Argentina. I mean, I'm being honest. The Lord confirmed his call when I sat down and ate a steak there in Argentina. This is the place that the Lord wants us to be. Yes. Okay, so Argentina is the 8th largest country in the world land-wise. And so it's very diverse. And it's just like living here. They'll ask me, they're like, "Oh, it's beautiful in the United States, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, it is. It's just like here." And they're like, "Really?" And I said, "Yes, because if you look at the map, like Buenos Aires is like from the equator, it's more or less the distance of Atlanta. And we're in Rosario, we're north, so we're a little bit closer. So we live like in South Georgia. And it's hot and it's humid and there's mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds. And it's just like living in South Georgia. And then you go on up to Misiones and it touches Brazil. It's, you know, tropical. And then you go to the west, due west, you have the Andes. And it's like the Rockies. And it's high Sierra desert. It's dry. We went to Bariloche. Bariloche's, I mean, there's snow-capped mountains. It was snowing in July because the seasons are flipped. And so beautiful. And then you drop down, it goes all the way down to Ushuaia, which is the most southern city in the world. I've got a friend of mine, he's a Filipino missionary. I don't know why he's there, but he picked like the coldest spot in Argentina, and it touches the Arctic. It goes down all the way to the Arctic. Another friend of mine, Jose Luis Mares, he went down there, not as far, but I tell you, he's a Mexican missionary. And I said, Brother Jose Luis, I want to come down and visit you. And he said, come on down, Pastor. I'll take you out to see the penguins. And so it's super cold. He sends videos all the time. Snow and rivers are iced over. And so it's just, and Rosario is, you know, our province of Santa Fe is very similar to the terrain here. And so it is a very beautiful city, or beautiful country. Buenos Aires is a beautiful city. They call it the Paris of South America. Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, we are in the hometown of Lionel Messi, the greatest soccer player in the world. And I said that, and Monday had an opportunity to preach at a youth camp, and the young man said, Ronaldo's the best. And I said, get out of here. So Lionel Messi's the home, he's hero. He's legendary status there, and he's there in Rosario. Yep. And I'm telling you, soccer is like an idol to him. It really is. It can be a blessing. We can use it. We have to reach people. But it's more of an idol than anything. They really do love soccer. One more question. Okay, no more questions. Romans chapter number 1. Look with me in verse number 16, verse number 17. And for the next 12 minutes, we're just going to look at this passage. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For then is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I just want to share this thought with you guys tonight. I want to share the thought with those that can't, those that won't, and those that will. Those that can't, those that won't, and those that will. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here in verse number 16. Paul's talking about the gospel. And what is the gospel? And a really good explanation or definition of the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul says, I proclaim to you what I proclaimed to you guys, preached to you guys in the beginning, that Christ was crucified according to the scriptures and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel in the nutshell, the gospel message. And that message of Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected, Paul says here in our text, that it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, those that can't. There's drugs everywhere. I remember this is last year. I was standing on the side of the street with Hector Campos, my assistant, and a guy comes walking by, and listen. They don't call us gringos. Everywhere else they call us gringos, but there they call us Yankees. They pronounce it Shankies. And I'm like, I'm from North Carolina. I eat grits and collard. You can't call me a Yankee. But they call us Shankies. And he walked by and he said, are you the Shankie that has a church on Liniers? And I said, I am. And he said, you gave me a gospel tract. He said, I still got it at my home. And he said, you shared Jesus with me 2 years ago. And he said, look, I've been on crack. He said, I'm no longer on crack. And he said, I'll be honest. He pulled out his marijuana and his cigarettes. He said, I'm still doing stuff, but he said, I'm not doing crack anymore. And his name is Maxie. And I said, well, Maxie, that's great. And I'll pray for you. Give me your phone number. He gave me his phone number. I said, man, why don't you come to church? He said, I'm going to, preacher. I'm going to be there. And so the next week, I just sent him a message like, hey, Maxie, I'm praying for you. Are you going to be at church this week? And he said, we'll see. And he didn't show up. And the next week, I sent him another message like, Max, I'm praying for you, man, and I want to really encourage you to be at church this Sunday. So I want to try my best. He didn't come. And the next week, I said, Maxie, where do you live? I will come by. I will pick you up. I will take you to church. He said, no, Pastor, stop. It's okay. I'm trying to speak in Spanish. He said, it's okay. I can walk to your church in 5 minutes, and I'm going to be there. And he didn't show up. And so I finally, one day I was like, hey, man, what's your deal? Why aren't you coming to church? I would love to have you there, and I'm praying for you. And this is what he said. He said, Pastor, there's some things in my life that I want to get straight and right before I go to church. And I said, Maxie, that's not how it works. We don't try and clean ourselves up before we come to God. We come to Him just as we are. And you're trying to do something that you can't do. And Max is sitting in his home, and he's trying to scrub himself up and clean himself up, but he can't do that. Paul says right here very plainly in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is the power of God into salvation. You can't get saved. You can't get your life cleaned up without the power of the gospel in your life. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah is prophesying to a sinful people. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, prophesies to this sinful and rebellious people. And he says, come now. And that's what he's saying tonight. He's saying to all, he says, come. And don't wait. Come now. Don't delay. Don't put it off. That's a lie of the devil to say that you got time. You don't know if you've got time. Jesus may come tonight, or you may die tonight. And the prophet says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, my sins, oh, the bliss of this heavenly thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. And see, Maxie, he's trying to make himself clean. He's trying to make himself presentable, but he can't. Only the gospel can do that. That's Maxie who he represents those that can't. And I want you to see number two, those that won't. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to whom? To everyone that believeth. It's there. It's available for everyone. But you have to take hold of it by faith. You have to believe. But you know what? There's some, they absolutely refuse to do so. Now remember, I was out passing out tracts. And I come to a man, he's sitting there. And I was telling your pastor today, it's illegal to sell marijuana, but you could grow it and smoke it all you want to. And so I'm walking down the street, and I see this young man, he's sitting there smoking marijuana right close to our church. And I say, hey man, I'm Sean, I'm the pastor here at this church, and I want to invite you to Sunday for service. And I tried to give him a tract, and he said, no thank you. And he keeps smoking his marijuana. And I'm trying to, you know, talk to him, make some kind of inroads with him and get his attention. And so I'm asking him, like, man, have you ever considered Jesus? Have you ever thought about your soul? And he's like, not really. And he just totally dismissed everything that I had to say. Just totally not interested in the gospel, in the church, in Jesus. Not interested. And he told me, so I'm happy with my life. He just will not. There's another man, Alfredo. He lives four blocks from our church. He's 83 years old and he's an atheist. He's one of the hardest men I've ever met. He's very kind, but you cannot speak to him about religion or church or Christ. And I had another man with me, and he was trying to witness to him, and I'd already tried to witness Alfredo, and my friend hadn't, and Luis, he's 79 years old, and Alfredo's 83, and Luis gets to talking to him about Jesus, and Alfredo's like, we're going to fight. And Luis said, no, we're not. We're not going to fight. He said, we're going to fight. And I thought, dear Lord, I'm going to see these two old men fight right here on the streets. I don't want to see that. And I think Luis could have taken him. And Luis said, we're not going to fight. He said, I promise you, we're not going to fight. Luis reached over and grabbed him, hugged him. He said, we're not going to fight. He said, I want to ask you one question. Just let me ask you one question. He said, have you given it any consideration of what's here after you die? And I'll never forget, Alfredo says, I don't think about it. Of course he doesn't think about it. If he thinks about it, it'd scare him to death. He doesn't think about life. He doesn't think about death. He doesn't think about the life beyond the grave, if there is or if there isn't. And if he's wrong, man, he's really wrong. And he's wrong. But he will not. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go out and we'll faithfully proclaim Christ, and we'll give out gospel tracts, and we'll witness to people, even some of our own family members. And some of our own friends, and they will not. But it's our responsibility to lovingly and prayerfully share the gospel with them. And if they've determined to go to hell, then they should have to wade through our tears and climb over our prayers and our pleads in order to go to hell. So those that can't and those that won't, but I'm thankful that there are those that will. Amen? Brother, can we go back to the slideshow? And I want to show you guys a picture of a young man. We went out one Saturday afternoon. The young man with the red shirt, that's Jose Luis. We went out one Sunday afternoon. We were going up and we're witnessing the people. And we come to a park and I'm with Brother Luis Ojeda. And I'm going down. He said, Pastor, there's some people in the park. I'm going to jump up here. And I said, okay, I'm going to keep going down this way. And so he went up and Jose Luis was sitting there on a park bench. And listen, that day he had been sitting there holding a knife thinking about committing suicide. He's a drug addict. His mama's a drug addict. And he had no hope. He's 30 years old at the time. And Luis Ojeda comes up to him and gives him a tract and preaches Christ to him and invites him to church. And Jose Luis, he took that gospel tract that night. And he read it. And he gave his life to Christ. Sunday morning. That was Saturday. Sunday morning, we start at 11 o'clock. At 10:30, I show up. And he's already there waiting for us. I'm like, he says, somebody gave me this gospel tract, invited me to church. I said, praise the Lord, come on in. Sunday night, we start at 7. I get there at 6:30. And he's sitting there waiting on us. And I was like, glory to God, he came back. That's wonderful, you know. We don't have a hard time getting him to come, but getting him to come back. And so he came back. And Thursday night, we have Thursday night prayer service there at Victory. And I get there at 6:30. You see where this is going? Jose Luis is sitting there waiting on us. And Thursday night, he asked me, he said, are you guys going to go out Saturday and invite people to come to church like you did last week? And I said, we are. He said, could I go with you? And I said, buddy, you sure can. And listen, in 1 week's time, Jose Luis went from being a drug addict without hope and having suicidal thoughts to being a born-again, washed-in-the-blood believer and wanting to share Jesus with other people. See, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Jose Luis, listen, that night that he trusted Christ as a Savior, that night God washed his sins away. And God, the Bible says here in verse 17, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's through the gospel that we become righteous. And that's Paul's point in the letter to Romans. In chapter number 3, he makes it very clear that we are justified before the eyes of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by our works. It's not by our good deeds. It's just simply trusting in Jesus. And that moment of faith, God the Father declares us righteous and just and holy. And that night, this young drug addict, without any hope, just simply placed his faith and confidence in Christ. And God said, that's my son. And I love him. And I'm pleased with him. God put Jose Luis in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are in Christ. And now when God looks at Jose Luis, he can only see his beloved son. That's the gospel. And I'm so thankful. The gospel works. And the gospel works here in Indiana. And the gospel works wherever it goes. The Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter number 1, Paul said that the gospel bears fruit as it has among you. Has God changed your life? Has the gospel changed your life? It works here and it'll work there. It works everywhere. And I'm so thankful that God has given me the opportunity to take the gospel message. And I'm thinking I can preach the gospel in English and now I can preach the gospel in Spanish. And I can share Jesus with a whole bunch of people. And God's given me that opportunity. And I've seen God work and God bless and starting two churches and baptizing many, many people. And starting from 7 people, me and my family, to having 2 churches. And I give you this right before we leave. Right before we left in the last week in Argentina, there's this lady that comes to our church in Pergamino, and they have a niece and a nephew who lives an hour and 20 minutes to the west in Villa Ramacho, and there's no church there. Thousands of people, and there's no church, no gospel preaching church there. And I got to thinking about it. I've got 3 young men at Faith Baptist Church, And I talked to them. I talked to Carlos and Patri. And then I talked to the people in Villa Romagio. And I said, I've got three young men that are training for the ministry. Would you guys like for them to take turns and one of them go out every week and preach to y'all? And I'll pay the bus tickets. And they'll be out there every Sunday afternoon. And so 1 week before we came home, we actually started another work that I've never even visited. But God's doing that. God's saving people there in Rosario. God's opened up doors. And this is the thing. The only thing that I did, I went there and I got the first church going. And God did that. But that's the only thing I had planned. Everything else that happened was not in my plans. God just opened doors. But we go where God opens the doors and where God's working. And we've shared the gospel with so many people. Some people say no, and they just absolutely refuse to reject it. But there are people like Jose Luis. There are people like Iñaki. There are people like Lucas and Selena that they're hungry, and they need help. And they're lost. And somebody's got to take the gospel message to them. And I guarantee you there's people right here in Indiana. There's people right here in y'all's community. They're miserable, and they're without hope, and they need somebody to go to them and share the love of Jesus with them.